You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome to Woodburn Corner, the West Bromwich Albion podcast that is glad to see people are finally coming into the club. I am Graham Brown and I'm here with Joe Chapman.
Happy Monday, Graham.
Happy Monday indeed. And we've decided to come straight out with a breakout podcast for the reason that it would appear that Albion are going to sign a player in the shape of Sam Johnson. Joe, tell us all we know about Albion signing Sam Johnson.
Well, he knows the patch very, very well. He's had loads of spells at Walsall and more recently of course Aston Villa. He spent 18 months at Villa. Steve Bruce was very, very keen to get someone in when he arrived at the club because he didn't really trust Gallini, who the club had signed under Roberto Di Matteo. So he went to Man United, picked up Johnston, and he performed really, really well last season. He kept 22 clean sheets in 45 league appearances. Was a significant role, played a significant role in their run to the playoff final. He was always going to leave Man United this summer. He's got 1 year left on his deal and United are closing in on Lee Grant at Stoke, so he was always going to be made available for transfer. He wasn't going to get any first team football at United. It makes sense. I think it's very, very smart business.
What's your understanding of the state of play of it then, in terms of, is it definitely happening? What's it going to cost?
The record is going to be about 5 million.
Yeah.
Which I think Albion will look for, at the very least, for Foster from any potential buyers. Well, most likely Watford. I think they'll try and at least get their money back.
So we're going to come back to talk a little bit about Ben Foster later on, and also we're going to talk to Alex Dickin, who writes about Villa for us, about what sort of player that Sam Johnson is. What surprises me about this, I don't know what your view about it is why is he available? Why is Sam Johnson available for 5 million? Why hasn't he been snapped up by one of the Premier League clubs in like a Watford or a West Ham who are clearly interested in him? You know, he's the right age and so on. My initial reaction is this is brilliant news, but I have a slight nagging noise in the back of my head, which is saying, but no Premier League team obviously wants him.
I don't think there are that many Premier League teams that need a keeper, to be honest. It is my honestly held view. Watford obviously are looking at Foster, and we've talked about this earlier in the office. Maybe Watford would have been expected to have gone after Johnston.
Yeah, that's what I thought, yeah.
They seriously need a freshen up of their department because Aurelio Gomez is 37. He's been told he can leave. Pantilimon has been told he can leave after playing next to no football at Watford. Mm-hmm. So he's expected to go to Forest. So therefore, Watford are in a position where they really need to bring in, and they've opted for experience as well by the way they're chasing Foster. So I just think he was never going to get any game time at United. Forget it. You got De Gea, and even if De Gea's injured, you got Sergio Romero. You've now got Lee Grant, who's coming in as kind of like the Richard Wright kind of role. You know, just kind of sit there for the rest of his career probably, and not play any football. And Villa obviously with the other option for him. And they're not in a position to sign him permanently.
And have you seen much of Johnson? You get around.
I've watched a good few games of Villa last season, and I've always been impressed with him. He's got good reflexes, good kicker of the ball, commanding. He's got experience in the Championship now. He's played 18 months in the Championship in a pretty successful team. You know, he's been on the winning side a number of times, and of course, as I say, you know, he's been responsible for a number of clean sheets as well. So I think, on the face of it, yeah, I can understand what you're thinking. West Ham have signed Fabianski. That was another club that were in need of a keeper. You look around, you think, well, Everton have got Pickford, Watford we've talked about, Southampton, maybe Crystal Palace, maybe. But
to be honest, fundamentally, I am thinking it's a really, really good signing. I mean, I've seen a little bit of him myself. I also know quite how much the Villa fans would love to get him in themselves. You know, it's only the financial position they're in that stops them from doing it. He's a good age, and the thing I've seen him play a little bit. And what impresses me most is he's a commanding presence. You mentioned that word, but from on the pitch, but he just seems like a strong personality.
Yeah.
He seems like someone who kind of defies his relatively young age, and I think that's an important thing. Yeah, Ben Foster's a big part of the dressing room, and I'd be confident that he might be a contributor from that regard.
He's 10 years younger than Foster, so that's another big thing as well. Foster's already said in the past, you know, about his knees and could go at any time.
So what do you think about that? I'll go first. My view is, if they are able to sell Ben Foster and bring in Sam Johnson at a relatively null cost, you know, same wages, same fee and so on, I think it's a terrific bit of business, because I think I'm a massive fan of Ben Foster's, but I do think fundamentally he's 35, he's had injury problems in the past, he's now said that he wants to go. One of the things that, you know, if you were to say to me before this news dropped earlier on today, okay, well, who would you want to replace him? I'd have probably said Sam Johnson. So I am pleased in that regard, but equally I can understand why a Watford would turn down Sam Johnson for Ben Foster. The reason being that at this moment in time, unquestionably, Ben Foster is better than Sam Johnson. You know, for next season, we're going to be worse. We're going to be worse in that we don't have the best English goalkeeper around. We have, you know, what is a proven decent Championship goalkeeper. But I think why this is a good sign is that in 3 years' time, Ben Foster will be, you know, a spent force, and Sam Johnson will be a 28-year-old, very, you know, hopefully.
Probably coming into his prime as well, yeah. That's the thing as well.
So I think it's good, you know. Watford sign a 5 million goalkeeper that they'll never get any money back from. We potentially buy a player that, you know, might just, you know, sell on for big money in the future. You know, you've increased your value of your squad. That's my view. What's yours?
If all things were to go well, you're already looking well into the future. Johnston, if he is as successful as his spell at Villa, his value's only going to go up.
Yep.
25-year-old goalkeepers nowadays who are playing first-team football in the top two divisions of England, that is a very, very young age. You know what I mean? If he's an outfield player, it's like signing a teenager.
Yeah.
To become an outfield player. Albion need youth anyway throughout the whole squad. They need young players coming through. They need players between the age of 20 and 25 who are going to step up and just revitalise the dressing room. Got so many 27, 28, 29, 30 year olds, you know, who have kind of maybe reached the top of the hill and now only kind of coming down the other side. You think, well, Albion need the next kind of bracket, I think, of age.
I think they've got rather more 31, 32, 33, 34.
Yeah, of course, that's what I mean. And these players are going to be the same. You know, you've got players like Dawson's, I think, 28 now.
Yeah.
Gibbs is about the same age. Livermore about the same age. Rodriguez is the same age. These players are, you know, they're kind of getting to the big 3-0 in the next year or two. And we need the next generation.
I'm going to hand over to you and Alex in a minute to talk a little bit more about Sam Johnson and what we can expect from him. But in the meantime, I thought I'd raise the question that I'd ask on the podcast this week, were they not here. So I mean, for those of you who are just joining us, I'm not someone who necessarily speaks the way the club would want, and it strikes me that that thus far this close season could barely have gone worse. We're yet to name an assistant manager, but that's not something that concerns me. The Dawson and Foster saying they want to go is a big red flag. You know, the big selling point for me of Darren Moore is that he'd actually make people want to stay. They don't really want to stay. It seems to me that anyone who could possibly want to go seems to want to go. Meanwhile, maybe Rodriguez seems to be a kind of decent sort. Meanwhile, we don't have a recruitment department to properly bring people in. We've got massive problems. I mean, goalkeeper being one of them, but certainly certainly at centre-half. I think it's interesting how someone like James McLean, we want to keep him and he appears to me he wants to go. Fundamentally, Albion is a bit of a mess, isn't it, at the moment?
The squad needs, I don't actually know what the word is. It sorting out's the bottom line, isn't it? It needs resolving from top to bottom. Players that want to leave, they're no good to you, really. Are they? Players like McLean, Dawson, Foster, they're already appear to be severing ties. What's the point in... If you can haggle and get the money that you want for them, then it's got to be done now. Unlike seasons gone by, you haven't got 2 months from the beginning of July to do your business. You've got 1 month. You've got 31, 32, 33 days. And from now to, I don't know, you depending on the players that leave, you're still needing 5 or 6 signings now, as it stands. That's if no players to leave the club.
I personally think the biggest story of this close season that probably hasn't been probably isn't discussed enough is the fact that they sacked Hammond, they brought in Terenio, they've now sidelined him. Essentially, after years and years and years of having a big recruitment department that doesn't do any recruiting because Tony Pulis decides who comes in, now we actually need it and it's not there. And it's all it all seems to be land on Mark Jenkins' shoulders. And it's like a spin of a dice. He gets it wrong, we're done. You know, we're a Leeds, we're a Sheffield Wednesday, we're an Aston Villa. You know, we're a team that threw away its one opportunity to have a big fund to get back in the Premier League, and that concerns me.
You look at Stoke down the road, or up the road. They just seem to have it absolutely down to a T. They've still got players that are probably going to leave. Butland and Shaqiri, for example, are players you don't expect to be at Stoke come the start of the season. But they've got the manager in early doors. They paid the compensation fee that they needed to pay. They've brought in all the backroom staff that Gary Rowett wanted: Kevin Phillips, Rory Delap, Mark Sale, player, you know, guys that have worked alongside him. They've signed Benik Afovi. They've signed Peter Atebo, who's they managed to get that deal done, even though he was out at the time.
Yeah.
With Nigeria at the World Cup. They're trying to do other deals that, you know, that are exciting, but like McLean, like Matt Ritchie.
Joe Allen, which is massive.
They've signed Joe Allen to a new deal. There's a lot of optimism at Stoke.
Yeah.
And you look at Albion in each respective area of the club, if you're kind of pitting them against each other. They just seem to be dragging their heels.
No, it doesn't. And I mean, I don't think it's bad. It just doesn't seem to be set up to succeed as such. Okay, well, that's the miserable part of this podcast away. Now I'm going to hand over to Joe and Alex Dickin, who writes about Aston Villa for us, to talk a little bit about what we can expect from Sam Johnson.
So, Alex, I saw a fair bit of Aston Villa last season, but I guarantee you've seen a good bit more. What are your immediate thoughts on the news that Sam Johnson set for Albion?
I think anyone looking at this from a Villa perspective would say it's a real kick in the teeth for Villa, but a massive, massive coup for Albion if they can get that one over the line. I mean, he's 25 years old. He's still got the best part of 10 years ahead of his career. He's played for England under 20s, come through the ranks at Man United. I mean, he's going to be a real top keeper. He's going to play in the Premier League for a number of years. And I suppose he's about to find that club now that's going to take him to the Premier League the fastest possible route. Because obviously there's a lot of Premier League goalkeepers around there that are very, very talented. And it's difficult to dislodge one of those keepers when there's so many of them around, I suppose. But he's a really decent keeper. And if Albion get him £5 million, that's brilliant business.
Are you surprised that he's not ended up in the Premier League this season? Like when the return to Villa was kind of cordoned off, were you surprised then that he would return to the Championship?
I think he could do well in the Premier League. But when you look at it, I think there's so many really decent goalkeepers about now that you've got. I mean, most Premier League clubs have got a decent backup goalkeeper. So I mean, you look at Man City with Claudio Bravo, who's won a Champions League at Barcelona and won La Liga titles. Can't get anywhere near Man City because they've got Edison. Man United have got Romero, Argentina's number one as their backup keeper. So there's so many top keepers in the Premier League, even lower down. I mean, you can look at them all and say, you know what, no Premier League club nowadays has got a bad goalkeeper after they as their number one.
No.
So it's difficult to kind of get break into that. So someone like Johnston, probably it's best for him to start at a Championship club, establish yourself as the number one there, take them up to the Premier League, and then there's a certain amount of loyalty from people like Darren Moore that would say, you're not going to be bombed out and we're going to get a new goalkeeper in, you're going to be our number one in the Premier League. Because I mean, Johnson's 25, so it's very much about kind of building for the long term. And if Villa had gone up this season, he'd have been there next season as their number one. So it's a kind of a logical progression, I think.
Bruce was a big fan, wasn't he? He said constantly that I suppose you'd imagine that had Villa been in a position this summer to sign him permanently, 100%. He'd have been top of the list.
Yeah, they all said that loads of times. I mean, Tony Jarre said, I think in January if we go up, we're going to sign him permanently. But simply they can't afford to now because they've got no money to spend on transfers this summer because they've got so many financial issues and obviously as well financial fair play problems, but they just can't afford to spend that sort of money. Bruce loves him. I remember the first few games Johnston played for Villa 18 months ago. He obviously joined them in January 2017 for 6 months at the end of the season, and then went back on a season-long loan for the full 2017-18 campaign. But the first few games he played of his first loan spell, he actually made a couple of mistakes and looked a little bit shaky. But that, I suppose at the time, there were critics, but I think that was to be expected given that he had so many loan spells, but he hadn't actually had a loan spell in a short while before that, so he hadn't played much football in about a year, I think. So he looked a little bit nervy and made a few errors and got, I suppose, rightly criticised from fans, because he'd come in to replace a goalkeeper Villa had spent, I think, £4 or £5 million on themselves. So there was obviously pressure on him, but Bruce said straight away from the start, we know he'll make mistakes, just give him time. And Villa fans gave him time, and he was faultless really for the second season, and he was faultless for the last 3 months of his first spell as well. Really steady and solid, and he makes big saves as well. I mean, I remember a couple stick out in the Villa Cardiff game towards the end of last season.
Right, yeah, there was one at the back end of the season, wasn't there, against Cardiff.
One was like Glenn Whelan deflected a free kick, and Whelan was not looking at the goal, he was looking the other way, and he was just like heading his hands. And then obviously didn't hear a noise from the away fans and got up and reacted to it after Johnston had brilliantly saved it. But there was a few saves in that game, brilliant performance. There was loads as well. I mean, I remember a Millwall game. Millwall absolutely battered Villa at Villa Park in December, and Johnston kept him at bay single-handedly. So he's a really, really top young goalkeeper, and he'll only get better.
The reputation of the clean sheets and things like that, it's a long old season, and he's obviously not had any fitness worries or anything. So he's always been there for Villa.
Yeah,
in the league games, with Chester and Terry in front of him, is that? I mean, that's not taking away anything from him, then, you don't think? Because that's a good partnership in front.
Oh yeah, it's a very. I mean, if you look at the defence in the second tier this season, none will be as good as. I mean, on paper,
yes.
James, Chester, and Terry. You've got former England captain, Chelsea captain, who's won everything in the game, playing at a level far beneath his ability. And James Chester, he's really, I mean, a lot of Albion fans may not see it, but having watched him over the last couple of years for Villa.
We only saw him at left back.
Exactly, yeah. So having watched him over the last couple of years for Villa at centre back, and obviously for Wales, you can see he's a Premier League player in waiting, and to be fair, he could well move on from there this summer. But I wouldn't take anything away from Johnston's achievements having those two in front of him, because at times, and I think Chester's admitted this himself on a few occasions, they've let him down. And particularly in the first inning, they let him down, and he was overworked at times. But that again goes to show how good he is, that he came through and kept so many clean sheets. And a defence that was good, but it wasn't brilliant.
Well, thank you very much for your time, Alex. That's the Woodman Corner podcast concluded this week. We'll be back next week with more Albion chatter. Hopefully there'll be a few more announcements, transfer related, and perhaps the new kit and that kind of thing. So make sure you stay tuned. You can download the Woman Corner podcast on a weekly basis on the iTunes store and also via Acast. So yeah, make sure you tune in next week.